The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
And we are back with another episode of the Kyle Anzalone Show. And returning to the show today is Larry Johnson. Larry, it's been almost two full weeks since I've talked to you, which feels like an eternity in the rate that things are moving. So how are you doing? Welcome back to the show.
As I say, I'm doing better than Donald Trump. Donald Trump, and Chris has heard this joke already, but it's true. You know Donald Trump's in trouble with the war in Iran when he has to have Melania Trump go out in public and talk about Jeffrey Epstein. Okay, right away you go, there's something bad getting ready to happen.
Yeah, it certainly seemed like an odd political pivot. Larry, a lot I want to talk to you about today in geopolitics. We got to start off, will the negotiations even happen? And then I want to go to America's future in NATO, touching and updating on the Ukraine war. And was this all a huge win for China? So starting off here, this is what J.D. Vance had to say as he boarded a plane to head to Pakistan for potential talks with Iranian officials.
Look, we're looking forward to the negotiation. I think it's going to be positive. We'll, of course, see. As the President of the United States said, if the Iranians are willing to negotiate in good faith, we're certainly willing to extend the open hand. If they're going to try to play us, then they're going to find that the negotiating team is not that receptive. So we're going to try to have a positive negotiation. The President has gave us some pretty clear guidelines, and we're going to see. So I hope you guys have a safe flight. We'll certainly take some questions later on. But for now, let's get on the plane and hit the road. Thank you all.
So, Larry, is J.D. Vance just burning valuable jet fuel at this point by flying all the way to Pakistan? Or do you think there's actually a potential that these negotiations happen and something substantive comes from them?
Well, the United States is in desperate need of an exit plan. And Iran has made it very clear what its demands are. And it looks like so far the U.S. is complying, despite, you know, when the agreement, let's call it the tentative agreement to meet, was announced Tuesday night. One of the components was the fact that the ceasefire in Lebanon, that the attacks on Iran, Lebanon, Yemen, and Iraq had to stop. The Trump administration had initially they'd gone along with that. And I don't know if that was a Susie Wiles call or what, but then all of a sudden the Zionist crowd rose up and threatening Trump. He was getting enormous pressure both from Israel and from here in the United States, the Mark Levins, even people like Mike Huckabee, I'm sure, were hollering about this. So then the White House tried to distance itself and pretend, we never said that. And then Israel went crazy on Wednesday, bombing civilians in Beirut and killing over 300, wounding more than 1,600. So Iran at that point was saying, okay, no, we're not going to talk. Done. And they were getting ready to launch a retaliatory strike when Pakistan and China, they both, they made it clear to Trump, you better corral the damn Israelis. Get your dog back on a leash. And apparently that's what's happened, because since that announcement Tuesday night, there haven't been any new attacks on Iran by the United States and Israel. So they've stopped that. And Iran is like, okay, if you're not attacking us now, we're not going to just go out and start hitting targets of choice. Always made it a point that they're retaliating for the attacks on them. But they have insisted, as part of those 10 points, that those are not items. You know, for example, they demanded that the sanctions be lifted. That's not to be negotiated on. That is a demand. That has to be taken care of by tomorrow, that the United States really takes away the sanctions. That frozen assets, those have to be released. Again, that's not an item for negotiation. It's a demand. That's one of the things that have to happen before we meet. So if the United States continues to drag its feet on these issues, Iran will walk away. And they will then be prepared to continue the war. So the United States really can't afford this war. And the biggest issue, though, is the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which Iran has made clear it's not going to reopen that to just to complete freedom of navigation. In the future, there's going to be a cover charge. You're going to pay $1 million a ship to come in or leave. It's estimated Iran's income out of that over a year with the normal traffic that goes through would be about $100 billion, really good chunk of change. So Iran's they're in a strong position, but they are willing to make a deal provided that these other conditions are met. And that means U.S. military bases closed, gone, no longer in the Persian Gulf, the sanctions lifted, the assets unfrozen, and the sanctions of both by IAEA and the UN, those have to come off. And then, you know, Iran actually will be willing to talk about nuclear enrichment. You know, if, you know, Israel and the United States like to pretend this is all about Iran getting a bomb, Iran never had any intention of getting a bomb. And you know what? We've got historical evidence for that. In the 1980s, when the United States was providing chemical weapons, now hear me out on this, chemical weapons to Saddam Hussein, we gave him the chemicals, the precursors that were used, and Saddam put them all together. They launched 20 chemical weapon attacks on Iran. That was from 83 through August of 88. During that entire time, that Iran never retaliated by using, one, developing chemical weapons, and two, using chemical weapons. Never. So they brought that same attitude to nuclear weapons. And I would just note as a side note here about the hypocrisy, the duplicity, the evilness of my country, the United States, unfortunately. We provided Saddam Hussein with chemical weapons. We took him off the terrorist list. We were providing him financial aid. We were providing him intelligence. And then 1.5 years later, in the summer of 1990, when Kuwait was stealing oil from Iraq, Saddam goes and asks the U.S. ambassador, hey, these cats are stealing oil from us. Do you have a problem if we go stop them? And April Glaspie said, no, we don't have any views on that. And so Saddam invades, and what's the next thing we hear? We got to stop Saddam from having, he's got weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, no kidding. We gave them to him. God almighty.
Yeah.
Look, the Americans are being fed a steady diet of male bovine excrement. And it is gaslighting to the extreme about how bad and how evil the Iranians are, how they're killing Americans, how they're doing. And we are the biggest killers over there in that region.
Absolutely. Larry, I have this clip of Professor Mearsheimer I wanted to play for you and to compare it with something that Donald Trump had to say. So let's roll the clip of Mearsheimer.
The more interesting side is the Iranian side. They hold almost all the cards. They are in a really powerful position. By cutting off traffic through the Strait of Hormuz, they're in a position to tank the global economy. Just think about that. The leverage that they have is enormous. The consequences of what's happened so far for the international economy are going to be devastating. The more interesting side is the Iranian side. They hold.
So, Larry, I want to compare that to something that Donald Trump posted on Truth Social this morning. He wrote, "The Iranians don't seem to realize that they have no cards other than short-term extortion of the world by using international waterways. The only reason they are alive today is to negotiate." So, you know, Professor Mearsheimer, I think, makes a very good case in that speech for why Iran seems to be playing with a fairly good hand at the negotiating table. They have a full house, and it seems that Trump is maybe bluffing with a pair of threes. But maybe Donald Trump is coming in here saying, like, I got a bunch of aces up my sleeve in the form of America's military might to just go in and completely wipe out the Iranians. So are people like Professor Mearsheimer miscalculating when they say that Iran really is in the you know, pole position here, has the ability to control how these negotiations go?
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/new.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
Yeah, well, let's just around. What's the United States going to do?
We have nuclear weapons, right? That would be the major thing that we could do.
Yeah, and then so does China, so does Russia, so does Pakistan, so does North Korea. So if we want to cross that line, we're going to be eating them as well. So he's not going to go down that route, because of the strategic alliance that's now in place between Iran, Russia, and China, that will have crossed the line. If the United States, or even if Israel, dares to try to use a nuclear weapon, it will set off. It will ultimately plunge the world into a nuclear war, because the proliferation will tick up immediately. Turkey, specifically, is not going to sit back and wait. They will probably get a request and receive from Pakistan their own nuclear weapon while they work on building their own. The reality for the United States is it doesn't have a lot of room to escalate. So what's it going to do? Is it going to send its... It can't send its ships, the Navy, close to Iranian shores, because the Iranians keep shooting at it with hypersonic missiles and drones, and the ships keep getting hit, and they have to sail farther out to sea, so they're out of range. We've seen that with the Abraham Lincoln, and we've seen that now with this the USS, I believe it's the Tripoli, the LHA, the landing helicopter assault ship that is carrying the Marines, 2,500 Marines. Ground troops? We can't put ground troops in. Impossible. You know, we could put a few. They're going to get killed. We saw all the drama last Sunday just trying to recover one guy. Now, that was I don't want to say it was necessarily a ruse. It wasn't. It was a real rescue. But it exposed that the United States had been working in that area to try to conduct a special operations raid on the Isfahan plant, a nuclear facility, and that didn't come off. So Iran right now, the key is the economy, the chokehold on the economy. And what's happening as a consequence of that is all of these allies that the United States thought it had are starting to abandon the United States. Japan, for example, has now cut a deal with Iran. Remember, we were counting on Japan to help us open the strait. Well, Iran's getting the strait open for it, because what it's going to do, it's selling to Iran, it's going to load up with oil, and it's going to pay a fee to in Chinese yuan, the Chinese currency, and it's going to go to China. So the payment system's going to be processed through Chinese banks in Shanghai. That money flow used to go through Dubai, through U.S. Western bank financial institutions, and ultimately make its way to the United States. No more. That's not happening. Iran is it's basically becoming wealthy again after years of sanctions because, you know, prior to the start of the war, they were selling pumping 1.1 million barrels of oil a day, selling that at $47. Since the war started now, they're doing 1.5 million barrels of oil and selling it at $97. So more than double the price. They've actually tripled their income from the sale of oil. And then on top of that, they're making money off of, it's estimated they're going to make close to $97 billion in charging fees to go through the Strait of Hormuz. So, you know, Trump can insist, oh, you got no cards. It's Trump that doesn't have any cards. And evidence for that, he had to send Melania out to do this big denial about Jeffrey Epstein. Remember, the initial thought was this war was started to distract attention from Epstein. And you know things are bad on the militarily when you got to bring Jeffrey Epstein up in the conversation.
I was absolutely like astounded by that Melania Trump went out there and said that, and it sparked. I saw Bill Kristol and the boys over at the Bulwark were saying this is Melania realizing the ship is sinking, and she's trying to jump off and signal that the president isn't well. So who knows what's going on there? But so you really think that Donald Trump will be willing to? So I do think Iran is looking to inflict a strategic defeat on the United States, and also that will come with a political defeat for the Republicans in the midterm. Donald Trump is going to be willing to accept that loss and not use, because as you I think have correctly ruled out, there's no conventional means. Can the U.S. defeat Iran or into the future? It's not a situation where if we wait 3 years that the numbers get better. Right. In fact, that was one of the arguments that Netanyahu used to convince Donald Trump to launch this war in the first place. Iran can produce missiles and drones far faster than the U.S. and Israel can produce interceptors and at a far cheaper price, too. So this is a real problem that we have. And you're saying that Donald Trump, maybe one of the most insane, most fragile egos that we have on the planet, is going to take the loss rather than resorting to America's very large stockpile of nuclear weapons.
Okay, so let me sketch out for you what could be where Donald Trump could claim a win and Iran would be willing to go along with this, possibly. One, all the sanctions are lifted. All the frozen assets of Iran are returned. So Iran now is back functioning as part of the global economy. The United States accepts that Iran and Oman are going to charge a user's fee, you know, like a cover charge at a nightclub. Hey, you want to come through the door? Yeah, you got to pay $100. Only this time you want to go into the Persian Gulf, you got to pay $1 million. In exchange for that, Iran will be willing to go back to the terms that were in the JCPOA about limiting its enrichment and allowing a full inspection of its nuclear facilities. So, you know, Trump, you know, because the press won't press Trump on the fact that he's now completely reversed himself, but Trump will go out and say, hey, we've reached this great agreement. We are assured that Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. We put in place this the most rigorous. There's never been an inspection process like this in the world. Never. You know how Trump is. When the fact is, it'll be exactly what was proposed 11 years ago with JCPOA, and he'll say, and as part of our growing confidence, you know, we're gonna be able to draw down our military presence in the Persian Gulf. Yeah, but be able to draw down. They've already destroyed like 80% of the bases, so there's nothing to inhabit. So that's just sort of natural. But we may retain a little small footprint, say at Al Udeid Air Force Base in Qatar. So, you know, there's a way for Trump to spend this, But the Israelis won't be happy with it because they want regime change, and they don't they weren't happy with the JCPOA, but Iran will not give up its right to enrich uranium. It will agree to limits on enrichment, but that they're not going to wait for some promise that you do that and maybe next year we'll lift the sanctions. No. Those sanctions are lifted now. The money's unfrozen now, and we're going to continue to charge a fee to get in and out of the Strait of Hormuz. And if you don't like it, tough.
I want to see the look on Trump's face when, after 10 years of complaining about all the cash that Barack Obama gave the Iranians and how that made it such a bad deal and how that funded terrorism in the Middle East, when the United States has to release that $6 billion of Iranian money that's held, I think, in South Korea and Qatar to the Iranians as, you know, basically a fee for ending the conflict. Larry, I do want to ask you about NATO. Benjamin Netanyahu had some interesting remarks today in Chris Lesterl's clip.
Israel will not remain silent in the face of those who attack us. Spain has slandered our heroes, the soldiers of the IDF, the most moral army in the world. Therefore, today I instructed to expel the Spanish representatives from the coordination center in Kiryat Gat after Spain has repeatedly chosen to stand against Israel. Anyone who attacks the state of Israel instead of the terror regimes, anyone who does this will not be our partner regarding the future of the region. I am not willing to tolerate this hypocrisy and this hostility. I do not intend to allow any country to wage a political war against us without paying an immediate price for it. Israel will not remain silent in the face of those who attack.
So, Larry, there's a theory that's getting a lot of attention right now that one of the objectives that Israel has in this conflict is to cause such a large rift between the U.S. and NATO that Trump exits the alliance. And the purpose of this would be that the U.S. will then likely withdraw their nuclear weapons from Turkey if they're still there, withdraw a lot of their military bases from the country, but also if Israel decides to go to war with Turkey, say over Syria in the coming years, Turkey wouldn't be under the United States's defense umbrella, and so therefore that wouldn't create that conflict. So is Netanyahu trying to blow up NATO?
No, I think he's in the process of committing suicide. So, you know, Trump doesn't need NATO, doesn't need Netanyahu to blow up NATO. Trump's doing a fine job on his own. You know, with his threats to invade Greenland and threats against Denmark, and then complaints, overt complaints that NATO has failed to provide any support for opening the so-called opening the Strait of Hormuz. No, but you know, here's Netanyahu's strategy. Let's see how many countries in the world I can piss off that will no longer support me. You know, that's a good strategy there. When you look at the polls that are happening here in the United States, in just 3 years, 4 years, it's gone from like a 53 to 47% support for Israel to now it's like a 60 to 36% against Israel. So Israel's unfavorability is going up rapidly, and Trump's attack on these major social media platforms that cater to the majority of people under the age of 50. You know, when you start attacking Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, Joe Rogan, Candace Owens, you know, right there you've got massive audiences that are people watching, and when they are increasingly critical now of Israel. I mean, Tucker used to be sort of an apologist for Israel a year ago. Not now. Same with Megyn Kelly. Megyn was even, you know, she'd been soft peddling it, but now they've gone after her in such a vicious way. And then again, Trump responds by calling them stupid and low IQ. It's like, tell Trump, get a mirror, man. Look in the mirror. You're talking about yourself. So this project to, you know, Trump really believes that if you're on television, you know, one of the cable channels, you got, man, you got reach. And if you're not on television, you're nobody. He's an 80-year-old guy living in the 19th century now. You know, he thinks newspapers are still relevant. So the social media power is the one that counts. And within that, that's where this debate is going. And so Netanyahu is alienating that crowd, and Trump is alienating that crowd. And so both of their political positions are going to become more precarious, not more solid.
Absolutely. There's an article in Politico this week where they talked to some Republican, I guess, campaign consultants. One in Arizona said the midterms were going to be an effing bloodbath. Another one in Georgia said candidates were hoping that Trump didn't come to the state to campaign for them because the president's unfavorability was so bad. And in that poll you were referencing about Israel's unfavorability, even 50% of Republicans under the age of 50, 57% of the younger half of the Republican spectrum have an unfavorable view of Israel. So yeah. This is not going very well. Now, Larry, more generally on the war in Ukraine, there is a really interesting story this week. Apparently, the Ukrainians have set up a military base in Western Libya. This is the Tripoli government of Libya, the one that's more allied with most of the NATO states. And they fired a siege drone from that base, and it hit a Russian tanker in the Mediterranean. And so at this time where it seems Ukraine is really butting heads with a lot of members of NATO, the United States, Hungary, Slovakia, over its attacks on Russian oil and energy infrastructure, they continue to carry that out. So exactly how are the Ukrainians doing right now? This to me seems to be an act of utter desperation.
You broke up there, the last part of your what you said.
Oh, it seems that attacking that Russian tanker, attacking the gas pipelines in Russia is really an act of desperation on the Ukrainians. Yeah. So how's it going on the battlefield for them?
No, it's going very poorly. Russia continues to advance hundreds of kilometers a week now. The total casualties that are the Russian Ministry of Defense lists for Ukraine is approaching 1.7 million, with well over a million of those probably being fatalities, killed in action. Russia, they set up a base like that. They try to carry it out. They get to do it once, maybe twice. And then Russia will go in and take it out. We've seen already this week one of the so-called ghost tankers that was sailing off the coast of the United Kingdom was accompanied by a Russian warship because the Brits were planning to seize it. Russians put their warship out there, and the Brits wet themselves and went and crawled in a corner and cried about it. Oh, Russia's putting out warships. That's aggressive. You know, suck on it, Starmer. You know, that's the Russian attitude towards this. So this war with Iran, this war in Ukraine, this is all part of what we're seeing is the end of a global system of economics, politics, military, that has controlled the world for the last 80 years, since the end of World War II. That system's coming unglued, and there's going to be a realignment. All these countries that thought that they could trust, rely upon the United States to protect them, just ask the Saudis how they're feeling about that right now, or the United Arab Emirates, or Bahrain, or Kuwait. I think we're going to see likely that Iraq will once again go into Kuwait and take control of Kuwait. And the United States is not going to be able to marshal any kind of international coalition to go force the Iraqis out. They will retain that because it used to be Iraqi territory anyway. So we're going to see some real financial changes that the United States' ability to control others is going to weaken, not strengthen. And Iran is taking advantage of that right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, Larry, I do wonder if one day in the next couple of years we'll see the Iraqis essentially walk into Kuwait just like the Iraqi protesters did at the Kuwaiti embassy in Baghdad. And I'm, there's nothing anyone could do about it, just
right.
like when Saddam did it. So on sticking to the Ukraine war here, it seems that Zelensky is going to be in a harder position moving forward with so much of the American military, you know, ability being directed towards the Middle East. We have some reports here that Ukraine says that negotiations are moving forward. While this seems mostly unlikely to me, Larry, the fact is that Russia is gaining more territory in the Donbass. Maybe Ukraine has finally kind of taken and listened to the words of J.D. Vance that we should just cede the rest of the Donbass, give Russia a little bit more territory, and call it a day. Any hope that talks are moving forward, that we could see a resolution to this war soon?
No. I mean, not diplomatically. There'll be a military resolution or a military solution to it. The thing that has got the Ukrainians worried or frantic about is the depletion of U.S. Armaments. You know, there are no more Patriots to be had. There are no more THAAD missiles to be had. So the air defense systems have been largely exhausted. Tomahawk missiles, forget about those. JASMs, ATACMs, those are no longer in production. The JASM missiles, those are fired from an aircraft. If those were introduced into theater there, that would be seen by Russia as crossing a red line. But they're even running low on those. So there's not the financial cash to toss to Ukraine either. So Ukraine is now running on fumes. The rest of Europe as well is, they're economically now in crisis with the shutdown of the Persian Gulf and the loss of gasoline or oil for gasoline, liquid natural gas, then the loss of the fertilizer, that's going to impact. So the cascading effect and contracting effect on the economy is going to be, we have yet to see the full impact of that. That is, we're starting to. May it will become very painful. People will be painfully aware of it. That will continue through June, through July. And, trying to pull the world out of what will then be a global recession is quite challenging. And, I don't see Israel backing off. Israel, they want to provoke a crisis of such dimension that the Messiah will come save them. In other words, they really want to set themselves on fire and hopefully the Messiah shows up.
It certainly does seem that way, Larry. Very, very dangerous times we live in. And I really appreciate your analysis every week coming on the show and just helping us make sense of all of it, because there's so much going on. The president seems unhinged in so many ways,
yeah.
And it doesn't seem to be that we're in for good times ahead. So Larry, I really again appreciate you coming back on the show today. Everybody, make sure you like, share, and subscribe to the show. We are only able to expand the show to do a Friday episode because we are growing, and I'm sure a lot of that is because I've been having Larry on every week, because people really love your analysis. So thank you, Larry, and we'll do it again soon.
Thank you, Kyle. Have a great weekend.